the new Connect FM.
Today for Motivation Monday, we want to talk about Thanksgiving and your relatives, oh. Since this is the week to get together and, you know, and there's so much to be thankful for. We're all thankful for family, but sometimes family can be very stressful. So here to connect with us, and we're so happy to have him back, is Tom Campion from Campion Barrow & Associates. Tom's a licensed clinical psychologist who's talked on many topics, works with families and family dynamics, so I knew this would be key for you, Tom. Hi, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, so, yeah, I mean, it's Thanksgiving, we get to get together with family and break bread together, have great meals and all of that, but boy, there can be some stress in you know, dealing with some of those extended family members that you don't get to see very often.
It really is a mixed bag, if you will, from people's experiences with holidays, Thanksgiving. Some of the holidays are getting together with family members, and it's dreaded. It's something that we try to find ways just to cope and get through, while other people, it's something they really look forward to. They have fun traditions. They have times when they see family members they don't typically get to see. Some people are on family vacations visiting family members in other states, and it's something that is looked forward to.
Well, why don't we address this? Because for some families, and I know Diane, you're experiencing this year, and you know, I've had a few years to come to grips with this. When you lose a family member, and usually the one who is the glue that brought everybody together, you know, the one that you know, for my mom, she was Thanksgiving, she loved, and there was always a big spread, and we went home, and, you know, I don't really see my immediate family on Thanksgiving. I go hang out with my husband's family, which is as close to, you know, my family get-togethers, but for families who are dealing with either loss, this year is different because a loved one isn't with them anymore, or even maybe they're dealing with a family member who is ailing, who's really going through some tough treatments right now. What are your recommendations or suggestions for that?
Well, you're commenting on a very key concept, and that is adjustment in the family system. Roles are changing, and that's very difficult. And some of those roles may change because of health reasons. Sometimes it's a death in the family. And the system is put in this flux, if you will, of who's going to take on the role, if it's a very important role, and the family members are looking at each other and doing a lot of nonverbal communication of who's going to do this, and they usually don't discuss it. The system stays in flux and tries to find equilibrium some way. And the adjustment is a hard process to go through, and you mix grief on top of that. It makes it even that much more difficult. It can be dealt with, though, and it can be dealt with in a very healthy way. You can do things that honor the loved one. You can have special new traditions as part of the old traditions and make it a time that is enjoyable and has some peace, has some closure, and especially even with this holiday, Thanksgiving. You know, it's a time to really focus on being thankful, and if that loved one was a very important part of the family, held a very important role, it's a great time to honor them, talk about them, and it's hard, it's tearful, but it's in the reflection of good information, thankfulness, and what that life was for the family and the role they played. It could be a very, very healing
process
as well. Exactly.
And you might have to just accept the fact that 1 year might be in flux, because I think that's the case with your family, Diane, because nobody's really stepped up to fill the role.
That's
and
right.
Nobody's really volunteering.
That's right.
And so, you know, I think maybe next year you guys might start earlier talking about, hey, what can we do, or what do you think?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Well, these are usually topics that are very tough to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, and I think sometimes family members will put expectation on a particular family member to take over, but, you know, people are so busy today. Yeah, I mean, and Diane, I mean, you're full-time worker, full-time mom with three kids. I mean, to put together, to host a dinner, a Thanksgiving dinner, I mean, that's just, you need an assistant, and nobody can hire assistants. Unless you're on Wall Street or something.
If we do host, it's going to be pizza night. It's not going to be turkey. That's for sure.
Well, you bring up a good point, is that we can think outside the box. And what families do is they remember the way it was, and so their thinking goes towards, how do I recreate that? But this adjustment, if we look at it as a true adjustment, say, no, actually, everything's free game now. We have the opportunity to think outside the box. Instead of having one person, we can have multiple people. We can say, this is going to be your task, this is going to be your task. And they get locked into the idea of, we have to recreate. We have to recreate what that loved one did, and we have to have it exactly like that.
That's because we get so used to it.
Uh-huh.
That's
absolutely.
Yeah, so.
You don't have to. We can think outside the box, and we can do something that's a little different.
Okay. And it's Motivation Monday, and here to talk about families and not letting the family get you stressed out this Thanksgiving is licensed clinical psychologist who works with families and family dynamics, Tom Campion from Campion Barrow & Associates. You can find them online at www.campionbarrow.com. All right, Tom, why don't we talk about some of those family members who can be annoying. Let's start with the nagger. You've got the person who comes in, doesn't do a darn thing, maybe brings her specialty Jello or something, but is going to nag you about that you're letting the turkey cook too long, is going to nag you because you're not married yet, or is going to nag you about this. Oh, that's frustrating. How do you get along with the nagger?
Well, that's a good point. And what people get into is they get into this idea that when they show up, they're not going to nag. And we end up with these expectations that these different roles family members play, for some reason this holiday, they're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we almost set ourselves up for this expectation failure. And I tell you, working with people, you know, here's something that's going to happen. A lot can really change if we learn to have realistic expectations. When they walk through the door, the first things out of their mouth probably is going to be something about how the table wasn't set right or how the room's not set right. And if we go into it, the realistic expectation, typically our responses can be a lot better. Okay. As opposed to starting off the meal now frustrated.
Okay. Because I think even some people do know it's coming. And there's not enough ability to prepare yourself for it, that you just know that you're going to be frustrated because Aunt Millie won't be quiet.
Right.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think there's usually another person in the family who does well with Aunt Millie and usually kind of steps in and grabs her arm and takes her to the TV room or kind of helps that okay. Go somewhere there. So there's other roles that are kind of our rescuers that will come in and assist. And these are family dynamics, as you watch them play out, are very comical. And if we look at the forest from the trees, we can still maintain some of peace in our family gathering without those dynamics overwhelming us.
Okay, so if you know that you're going to be dealing with a nagger, what can you do when you start feeling the bubbles start to boil in your head? And you don't want to say anything inappropriate. You don't want to, because you know if you go after the nagger, that's going to give her fuel for the fire. So what should you do to try and keep yourself calm with all the other stress that's going on? Because I think that makes it worse, too, because there's just so much stress. All these people, you got to get the food on the table, blah.
Well, there is going to be some level of tension, especially if we do some confronting. If we confront behaviors, we're going to have tension. And so we kind of pick our battles. Is this a hill we want to die on or not in regards to what's happening? And typically that's going to be decided on an individual basis. But if it is and we need to address something, I like to address in terms of a positive tweak, if you will, by saying things like, well, let's be loving or let's be nice or let's be encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not really going after the specific activity, but we're giving a suggestion of, let's change what's happening.
Okay. Diane's over there fervently writing notes.
I am. I'm writing this down. Now, let's be nice.
When we do that, we're going to have an opportunity for conflict. We'll have the opportunity for argument. That's why we have to be delicate and read each situation individually.
Okay. All right. All right. How about the instigator? There's always one of those at the family gathering where you always hear that you're not supposed to talk about politics and religion in big mixed groups because you could get people, fired up and stirred up. But there's always that one relative who's going to bring it up and throw his or her opinion out there for every. And it's at the dinner table, probably right after the prayer. You know, everybody's trying to have a nice, friendly conversation. But there's the instigator trying to throw stuff in the mix. Uh-huh. How do you disengage the instigator?
Well, that's usually done out of their own frustration and anger, and they just kind of want to stir the pot a little bit. And a good way to deal with that is to reflect it. You can say things like, "Well, let's deal with that topic later," or "That's a good question. Let's talk about that after dinner." Then you can redirect over to Aunt Millie and say, "Aunt Millie, can you pass me the, or can you do this, or you know, how was your day yesterday?" And so we can reflect it. We can give acknowledgement that we heard it, and then we can give a statement of when we will talk about it, which usually typically doesn't come out again. But it redirects it because everybody knows. This is a family. We all know each other's roles. This is not a surprise again. This is something this person does, and most of the family will recognize what you've done. You've reflected it or deflected it and moved it, and most will play right along with that, and they'll keep going.
Huh. Okay. All right. I like that. So just a simple little deflect. That sounds good. How about the guy who is so glued to a football game, he never lifts a finger to help?
Well, you're right. And it's becoming cross-gender as well. So
That's true.
Thanksgiving is always known for its good football games. You know, we've got a good one against the Packers and Lions, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know,
there's
ones that are kind of marquee games, and it's a big football day. And we need to rely on maybe our modern technology. And it's something that it was not before. I mean, growing up as a kid, we'd always yell out, "Wait till timeout," or "Wait till commercial," and then I will take the garbage out or get rid of the turkey carcass or do something different. But now we can actually use our DVRs, and we can pause at any point. So, sorry guys, but that excuse is now over. You can actually pause, and you can even rewind.
I know.
If you forgot to pause. And so modern technology will get us off the couch.
I know. It's just so funny because the guy who's glued to the couch the whole time certainly can get up to feed himself and fill his plate with all the goodies.
Yeah.
But then when cleanup comes around, it's like, hello, where
did everybody go?
Hello,
absolutely.
Where are you? Yeah. So that's a very good point. Use modern technology, and that way, you know, I don't think that it's asking too much to help a little bit with the cleanup.
It's not, and I think just being fair, I mean, there's a lot of time that goes into preparation for this kind of a holiday with the big meal and the family, and people like their different jobs. If this is a family event that's been going on for years, everybody kind of knows what their role is and how they take care of stuff, and it's okay to incorporate people into new processes. Kids are getting older as the years go on, so they can get incorporated into some of the cleanup or setup, and you know, it's just not opportunity to think outside the box. How can people help, and how can new roles be met?
I was just reading an article about the teenagers who often just sit around with their arms crossed or, you know, dug into their phone texting people saying how boring this is, and how you can head that off as a host by saying to the teenagers at the beginning of the event of, I'm going to pay you every time I see you doing something. If you clear the table, I'm going to give you a couple of bucks. And that way they really get involved because there's some money on the line when they leave.
Yeah, we can find a lot of different ways to motivate the kids. They are you can motivate them. There are some things that will spark their interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an opportunity to learn, to go alongside, learn some cook, learn how to cook, learn some recipes, learn some family things, and that kind of stuff builds relationships. One of the things about teenagers is they're very relational, and that's why they're texting. They're trying to relate to friends who can interact with common interests. Well, as adults, we can take advantage of that too, and we can learn how to relate to them and incorporate them into some of these traditions and cooking things, and teach them some of the family secret recipes.
Excellent. Well, Tom, want to thank you so much. You know, it's always fun to talk about family, and no better time than than when Thanksgiving is approaching. And I think you've given us some good techniques to deal with some of the common stresses, but also some food for thought, no pun intended, on just how to enjoy the day. So want to thank you so much for giving us some time today, Tom.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. And that's Tom Campion with Campion Barrow & Associates. You can find them online at www.campionbarrow.com. www.newconnect.com. We're 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM.